Happy you joined me as I continue our happiness podcast mini-series. We got another two principles of happiness to talk about, so sit back and let's have ourselves a pep talk.
A pocket-sized pep talk, the podcast that can help energize your business and your life with a quick, inspiring message. Now, here's your host, Rob Jollis.
There is one topic I've written about more than any in the 11 years of blog articles that have appeared. It's the concept of optimism. When I talk about how we cope with worry, the topic of optimism is critical. When I talk about how we cope with fear, I have to focus on the importance of optimism. I even include a segment on optimism when I talk about how we handle taking risks. Someone I deeply respected, Navy Lieutenant, and the late Senator John McCain, says it was his natural happiness and optimism that kept him alive during the 5 years he was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. That included one stretch of solitary confinement that lasted more than 2 years. Imagine that. He actually remained optimistic in a Vietnamese prison. He was quoted as saying there were times when he thought he was genuinely happy. When someone is able to imagine the best case scenario in an uncertain situation, that person is an optimist. So, how does someone become more optimistic? The first thing you have to do is be willing to lose. And by lose, I mean you have to be willing to want something to turn out in your favor, invest in it mentally, and tell others if they ask you. And you know what that means? That means that if what you're feeling optimistic about doesn't work out in your favor, you need to look yourself in the mirror or your friends in the face and say, I was hoping it would work out, but it didn't. I'm amazed at how fearful so many are of acknowledging a loss like this. They're so fearful, they refuse to invest in it mentally. Somehow they convince themselves that if they tell themselves it probably won't work out, it will somehow feel better if it doesn't work out. One of my heroes in optimism has always been Thomas Edison. When you are trying idea after idea after idea over and over again, and you respond with a quote like this one, I haven't failed. I just found 10,000 ways that don't work. You are an optimist. But my favorite story centers on an absolute disaster Edison came face to face with at the age of 67. One of the factories he built was completely gutted in a terrible fire. The next morning, Mr. Edison looked at the ruins of his factory and said this of his loss. There's value in disaster. All our mistakes are burnt up. Thank God, we can start anew. So, why aren't we all optimistic? Why are we treating this word as if it's a word that somehow should not be spoken? It's not irresponsible to be an optimist. It's not tempting fate to be an optimist. Can you even fathom a conversation with someone telling you that it's bad luck to be an optimist? I hope I've impressed upon you how important it is. It really is to be an optimist as you create your path to happiness. If that negative voice inside you starts bullying you around, shut it down. Like the movie Broadcast News, and that's an old one, but a good one. It's time to get up, walk over to the window or door, open it up and yell, I'm mad as heck and I'm not going to think negatively anymore. It's my choice. And I choose to be an optimist. You can do this. There's nothing physically holding you back. And that's not just my optimism speaking. Principle 3, acting happy. How many times in your life have you received a phone call or passed someone on the street who asked you, how you doing? I'm curious how you answer that question. I'm sure you're probably asked that question every day and often multiple times in a day. I've heard all kinds of answers to that rather trite question. Hanging in there. That's for people who want you to know they're struggling. Okay. That's for people who don't want to answer the question. Same old, or I can't complain. That's for people who are too lazy to even attempt to answer the question. I'm going to let you perform a small experiment involving me. If we ever meet, try that question on me. You'll almost always get the same answer, and it usually catches people by surprise. As a matter of fact, I've had a number of people smile and tell me they never heard this particular answer to the question before. For close to 30 years, my answer has always been the same. You ask me how I'm doing, and the answer is, I'm happy. Am I always happy when I give that answer? I'll never tell. But I will tell you that one reason I'm giving that answer is so I can hear myself say it. It is really an answer to remind myself to be happy. Often when I give my answer, I hear the follow-up question, well, what's making you happy? Frequently, it may take a moment or two for me to respond because I don't actually know the answer to the question. I'm just trained to respond that way. I can guarantee you, though, I'll give you an answer to that second question. What I'm really doing is forcing myself to immediately think of something that's making me happy. And that exercise helps me to keep looking for the positive things in life. Can acting happy make you happy? Yes. There have been experiments in which people have been asked to manipulate their faces into a smiling facial expression. Instruments are attached as they're told to turn up the corners of their mouth, and they actually do feel happier when they put on a happy face. A similar situation, when a little reminder can help us, is regarding our posture. For those like me who try to improve their posture, it's easy to forget that we're slouching. Each time you walk by a mirror and see that slightly slumping body, you're reminded to stand up straight. That quick glance at yourself gives you the reminder to stand up. In much the same way as the glance in the mirror, the question, how you doing, can help you to remember to be positive and think of something that's making you happy in your life. Trigger phrases like, how are you doing, are perfect for the job. Sometimes we can create our own reminders. How often do you look at your watch? I wore a Mickey Mouse watch for almost 15 years. It had nothing to do with any strange fascination with the Disney machine. I wore it because I knew that each and every time I looked at my watch, I'd be reminded to be happy. It's hard to see Mickey's white mitts pointing in various angles and not smile a bit. If that's too old school for you, consider the screensaver on your computer, the background on your smartphone, or even a well-placed message by your desk. Should you run out and get a Mickey Mouse watch, use Apple version of a Mickey Mouse watch face, or change how you answer questions from others? Not necessarily, but research shows, and I firmly believe, acting happy is one of the key ingredients in being happy. Going through the motions can trigger the emotion. All you need to do is figure out ways to remind yourself of the blessings you have in life and to think happy thoughts. That's not such a tough job, is it? I hope you like where we're going here, because although I may be finished with this podcast, I'm not finished with this subject. We got one more to go with our final two principles of happiness in our next pep talk.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, please rate and recommend it on iTunes, Outcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get more information on this show and Rob at Jollis.com.